Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to look in your Bible in the book of Psalms, all right? Right in the middle of your Bible. I remember when I first became a Christian, they would say, take your Bible just like this and open it up to the middle. Now, with all the study Bibles that are out there now, you may have so much concordance and study helps that it's not the center of your Bible. But in this particular Bible, if I open to the center, I land somewhere in the book of Psalms. So we're going to talk about Psalms. But before we do that, we have to kind of get a little bit back in the groove of our Bible study, The Greatest Story Ever Told. We're looking at books of the Bible. So I want you to take a minute. I want you to take just a minute, and I want you to look at those blanks. These are the items that we put down to help us remember the truth of that book of the Bible. And I want you to take a minute and just see if you can answer any of those, okay? If you can do that, go for it. And I'm not going to give you long because we've got to move out. All right, Genesis, what's the blank? Tree. All right, good. Number two, James, what's the blank? Pacifier. All right, grow up, get off the pacifier. All right, John is the book about belief, faith. And what's the item? A wheelbarrow. Very good. All right, so number four, what's the item? Binoculars, because Proverbs is about wisdom. We see life from another perspective, which is what binoculars does for us. Jeremiah and Lamentations, get out a what? A Kleenex, because Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. You remember that. All right, Exodus, what's the word? That one's harder. Doorpost, that's right. The symbol of what Exodus is all about is about the Passover, and blood was put on the doorpost. All right, in Matthew, the key word is fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And what was the item in that blank? The sign. The sign on the cross. You remember when Jesus was nailed to the cross, they said, this is the King of the Jews. In other words, that sign they put on the cross validated or was an echo of what the scripture was teaching, that he was, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. All right, Philippians, what kind of bubble? The thought bubble. All right, you got that one? Now, the reason for that is because the word joy is used 19 times, but the writer of Philippians says if you're going to have joy, it involves your mind. You've got to think a certain way. And so we talked about that. So that's why we use the thought bubble in Philippians. All right. Now, we have 150 psalms. I'm going to go through about 25 of them tonight, so we'll get out about 10 o'clock tonight. Just kidding. Just kidding. There are 150 psalms. So let's just crank through this and think about it, all right? The key word is the word praise, P-R-A-I-S-E, praise. Now, I'm not going to give you those two other blanks because that's kind of the little thing I want you to remember, and I want you to kind of be thinking about it for our study. Number one under our study in the book of Psalms, it's known as the book of praises. It was the Jews' hymn book. So that first blank is Jews, the Jews' hymn book, all right? When we think about the dates of the writing of the book of Psalms, you know, it was a music book, okay? And so it spread out over a long period of time. Some say as many as 900 years, as much as 900-year gap exists from the oldest psalm, which would be Psalm 90. And the reason for that is because Moses wrote Psalm 90. Can you believe that? Moses, that's a great psalm, by the way. Before the mountains were formed, thou art God, that psalm says. I love that. Before the mountains were even formed, thou art God. So you think about the span of time that the Psalms were written. Quickly, let's answer some of this. David wrote 73 Psalms. Some say 75, so roughly 73, 75 Psalms David wrote. The sons of Korah wrote 12 Psalms, all right? Asaph wrote 12 Psalms. Solomon wrote 2. David's son Solomon, he wrote 2 Psalms, Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. Moses wrote Psalm what? 90, that's right, Psalm 90. Now most of the Psalms were written during the time of David and Solomon, but it spans all the way from Moses to after the exile of the Jews. And it goes to Psalm 126 as the gospel psalm. That is one that was written after the exile. That's the psalm that says that he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we go to Psalm 126 that way, okay? Most written during the lives of David and Solomon, but it spans from Moses to the post-exile. Number three. Now, we look at the different kinds of psalms, all right? Look at Psalm 3. Find this in your Bible. I want us to dig in a little bit of these psalms. We're not going to be able to dig into many of them. Psalm 3, look how the writer, David, in Psalm 3, verse 1, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. This is a great song. This is a modern day chorus. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the one who lifts my head. Or, as the song says, the glory and the lifter of my head. This psalm is part of that first group, all right? In number 3 in the Bible study here, the lament or petition psalms. And you see, and there are many other ones. I just put a couple as examples. Psalm 3 we just read, and of course Psalm 44. The lament or petition. David petitions God for his presence, for his deliverance. And so you have that as a category of the psalms, all right? Letter B under number 3, you have a praise psalm. Thanksgiving or praise, all right? Thanksgiving or praise. Let me just look at Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so we see these thanksgiving or praise psalms. The letter C, psalms of trust. If you go back to Psalm 4, psalms of trust. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So Psalms of trust in chapter 4 is an example of that. Then there are psalms about Jerusalem. Chapter 48 is about that. Then there are messianic psalms. Look at Psalm 2. I'm purposely kind of keeping the ones we look at down here at the beginning of the book. But Psalm 2, is a messianic psalm. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You see that word anointed? That is the word that ties this in to a messianic psalm talking about the Lord Christ, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have what? Begotten you.'" Recognize that word? "Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." Anyway, it's a great, 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 great psalm, but it is called a messianic psalm, okay? Then you have, look at chapter 1. This is a wisdom or teaching psalm, talking about the wisdom of God. So much in the Psalms about God's wisdom, and of course, the book of Proverbs is about wisdom as well. "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And on it goes, talking about the blessing of following God's word. So that is a wisdom or a teaching psalm. Then there's the imprecatory psalms. Verse 7, that means when you call down judgment. Now, it's interesting. As you think about digging into the Psalms, you realize there are these psalms where David was calling down the judgment of God upon his enemies. I think it's ironic that, or it just is kind of interesting that this morning in 1 Peter, the Lord was saying to us, be compassionate, don't be resentful. Well, I think this actually dovetails perfectly into that mentality, because even though David is calling down God's wrath upon his enemies, he's recognizing it's God who's going to bring the judgment upon the people. Does that make sense? Shake your head if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Chapter 7, "O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, I have done this. If there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or if have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger." In other words, Lord, get them. That's a precatory psalm. Now, I don't want any of y'all praying precatory psalms on me, okay? That's when you're praying for God's judgment to fall on someone. "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me." You can continue to read those. That's a precatory psalm. So you have all these categories. Now, those aren't all the categories. There are even more. And depending on who you study and read in this area, there are different ways they're categorized, but most all agree on these categories. Now, here's what I wanted to get to before we dismiss. The basic theme. I love this. If you don't hear anything else tonight, I hope you've heard something tonight, okay? But if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this right here. And I love this. And I until I studied this to present this to the congregation tonight, I had never heard this and thought this. But I love this about the psalm, and it's really going to open up psalms in my own life. Here's the basic theme: living real life in a real world where two dimensions operate simultaneously. I love this. Here it is. a horizontal or temporal reality, and at the same time, a vertical or spiritual reality. Now, folks, I think the whole Bible teaches us this. Don't get me wrong. The whole Bible takes us to the heavenlies, right? Amen? Are you there? Okay. It's kind of echoing in here a little bit. By the way, whoever sent out the email that said we weren't having church, get them. Do an imprecatory psalm on it. No, I'm just kidding you. But no, I think the whole Bible gives this message, but it's interesting that the Psalms hammers this. The truth is we live in two kind of dimensions, in the sense that there is a vertical relationship with God. There is the spiritual relationship we have and the reality of the fact that we believe in a sovereign God who's over our life. But you know what the bottom line is? We still live in the nasty now and now, right? We still live horizontal with one another. You don't just live in one or the other. You live in both. And here's the basic teaching of the psalm. The psalm says you can praise God when you're living both horizontally and vertically. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 52, all right? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Psalm 51. This is David's psalm of repentance. When David had sinned, he wrote this great psalm. And by the way, you hold your place there, and I want to read Acts. Maybe they can pull that up on the screen. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. They'll get there before I will. Acts 13, 22 says this. And when he had removed him, he raised up, talking about remove Saul. When he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, and get this, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Now, did David make mistakes? Oh, yes. David made some major mistakes. And yet the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. I have wrestled in studying that. What did the Lord mean by that? And the best I can understand it is that David, when he made a mistake and he sinned, he responded to his sin properly. He did not cover up his sin. He had a tender heart towards the Lord. Yes, he made major mistakes. Yes, he was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder when he sent Uriah to the front of the battle and had him killed. Those are terrible, terrible things. And yet, somehow, the Lord said he was a man after my own heart. But here's what we see in David. He lived and recognized life horizontally and vertically. In this psalm, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, I want you to turn the page, or at least look down to verse 12. This is a great... This is a line in a great anthem that I learned when I was in a choir one time. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. I just want to point out in this one little instance. Now, there are how many chapters in Psalm 150? There's no way that we're going to cover it all. But you can dig into Psalms as you're reading it, and you can recognize that the book of Psalms is about praises, but it's recognizing the basic thing that we live in a real world where there are two dimensions that operate, the horizontal dimension and the vertical. And we see it demonstrated in verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 is vertical. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David is saying, God, I have to be right with you. The vertical dimension of my life has got to be right with you. And then he says this, Lord, when you do that, and as you do that, I'm going to get horizontal. And here's what he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Now, I think it would be an amazing project to go through Psalms, the different Psalms as you read them in your quiet time and your devotional time, and just have that mindset. The basic theme is living real life in the real world, where two dimensions operate, a horizontal or temporal reality and a vertical or spiritual reality. And we can see this also as we look at all the Psalms, and I just mentioned Psalm 51 and Psalm 1, okay? So back to the top up there at number 10. The key word is praise, and all I want you to think about is this. I want you to write those blanks, horizontal and vertical lines. That's what I want you to write there. Now, I probably could come up with a better way to think about it, but all I could think about was graph paper where you had the X and the Y axis, Patrick. I was thinking about that because the Y axis goes straight up, that's vertical. The horizontal axis is the X axis and it's horizontal. And when I will never see graph paper again the same way. I'm thinking that as I view that, I'm going to think about Psalms, because Psalms is a book that says, you know what, you live in a real world. You cannot escape two dimensions that you live in. You live in a horizontal world, church. You have to relate to people. You live in a real world, the nasty now and now. But at the same time, Psalms teaches us that we also live in a world where there's a spiritual reality, and as a result of that, we can praise our God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's talk to Him about it.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.